This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Damn, Bird. Really? Really, Bird? Okay. So we start hour number three, and our phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. That's code for I've done the interviews. Now is the time for you to call the program. Maybe you try to get through on the beef segment, but we're not able to do so. Go ahead and do it right now. I thought Jason Lockenfora had some really interesting things to say, that if you look at the Chargers, if they approach it the right way, he said if they come at it the right way and they roll out that red carpet and they tell Brady what he wants to hear and they do certain things that are not Charger-like, they've got a real shot at getting this guy because there's a lot to like for Tom Brady about the Chargers. We know post-career, post-playing, he probably ends up here. He's got a lot of interest here already. I could see where maybe he'd want to come here and give it a shot. They'd have to approach it the right way. We've already seen his approach. It's annoying as hell. Put the phone down, troll. In addition to that, we talked about Philip Rivers and where he might end up. I said before JLC came on, man, it just seems really strange to me to think that he might be in a different uniform. And Jason's point was, yeah, kind of, sort of, but we saw Joe Montana. That's true. How about Brett Favre? What was more weird than Brett Favre in Viking gear? Besides Brett Favre in Jets gear. So, yes, I mean, guys can end up in other gear. But to me, Philip Rivers is just so synonymous with the Chargers and being in that uniform 16 years. It's going to be weird. It's going to look weird. It's going to look weird seeing him in a Colts jersey. But I could see him manning up there, too. Then you've got the XFL. I mentioned that it must have been a pretty successful first weekend if I'm still talking about it on Tuesday. And I'm talking about things that are interesting. You know, like I'm not here to kill it. There are things that are interesting. Like, for instance, Black Monday in the NFL. Black Monday, when I say that, you know what I'm talking about. It's the Monday after week 17 of the regular season where coaches and GMs who fail to deliver on expectations get their walking papers. So we know what Black Monday is. Apparently in the XFL, Black Monday is after four quarters a bad football, because after allowing 37 points to the Houston Roughnecks in week one of the regular season, Pepper Johnson already iced as the LA Wildcats D coordinator. I mean, damn.
Ice.
An ibuprofen for Peppa. A totally where were you when moment. Where were you when the XFL brought the hammer down and fired its first coach, coordinator? And not just any coach, though. Pepper Johnson, right? My man's got a Super Bowl ring for every digit on one of his paws. Two as a player, three as a coach. But apparently, a fistful of jewelry at the highest level is not enough to keep you in the XFL for more than a week. At least not with your current employer. Well, you want to talk about a cutthroat business. You want to talk about a ruthless business. Hell, the old Dallas Cowboys head coach got an entire decade to do like virtually nothing except clap on the sidelines before he ultimately met his maker. Pepper Johnson got what? An entire game? In the XFL. And did I mention, my man's got five Super Bowl rings. So if you're not taking the XFL seriously yet, just know the LA Wildcats sure as hell are. In fact, probably a little too seriously. Who the hell gets canned after one bad game? One bad game. The first game. I mean, like, were there a bunch of Wildcat fans taking to the streets, calling for this guy's gig after that shellacking from H-Town? I don't think I would know. I live here. This town barely takes NFL football seriously. I can't imagine how badly they want to see somebody fall on the sword after a single XFL game. I mean, personally, and again, I'm keeping an open mind and I'm paying attention, but I'm still getting used to the fact that the media actually covers the XFL, that there are actually XFL highlights, that there's actual XFL news. And now we've got statements about the dismissals. Not only did it go down, but there are statements that have to be read on the program. As an example, head coach and GM Winston Moss said, quote, "While these decisions are difficult, we have given this significant thought. We thank Pepper for his contributions to the Wildcats, and we are looking forward to our home opener this weekend." End of quote. We've given this significant thought? Sure you didn't, Winston. Firing somebody after one game does not sound like significant thought. It sounds like the exact opposite of significant thought. I mean, never mind how bad it looks to fire a guy after only one season, right? This dude got smoked after one game. If firing a coach after one season is admitting a mistake, what the hell is firing a guy after one game? Panic much? If that sounds like a panic move, if that sounds like an impulse, it sounds like anything other than, quote, significant thought. Man, you cannot believe how much thought we gave to this. You cannot believe how many sleepless nights there were over this. You can't believe how many times I had to turn this over in my head before I finally decided I have to do this. Carlos Beltran can't believe how quickly Pep got the axe. And did Moss really just say that he, quote, wanted to thank Pepper for his contributions? What contributions? Those 4 quarters that you allowed him to coach? This guy was there for a cup of coffee before you snatched it out of his hand and told him to find his own damn Keurig.
Put that coffee down.
Pepper.
Coffee's for closers only.
Surprised he didn't hit this guy with a, hey, yo, paprika, get the hell out of my office. You call yourself a D coordinator, you son of a bitch.
You call yourself
beat it, salt.
You son of a bitch.
Bench the salt. Get out of here, paprika. Come on, dude. He's Pepper Johnson. He's got 5 rings. I'm not saying the guy gets a lifetime gig, but maybe, I don't know, a second game? Man, what a weird statement, too, after a weird move. I guess the Wildcats, man, they're pretty hell-bent on running the table. And after that didn't happen, somebody had to pay the piper. Somebody was getting rolled up, and that somebody was Pepper Johnson. I guess 5 Super Bowl rings and a badass name do not guarantee you jack in the XFL. Look, I understand that coughing up 37 in a loss is not a great day at the office. Except the Miami Dolphins, an example. Their D coordinator last year, Pat Graham, did that 4 different times. He kept his job. And then he got hired by the Giants last month to do the same thing for them. I guess it turns out you have to rail lines of blow on camera and send it to a Vegas stripper to get fired from the Dolphins coaching staff. Yeah, but go ahead and give up 37 as many times as you want. I would tell Pepper to send a resume to the Dolphins, but they've already filled that vacancy. The question now is, who are the Wildcats going to fire next week if they can't handle the Dallas Renegades? Then it's not going to be long before Winston Moss, the GM, is looking at Winston Moss, the head coach. Because at the rate that they're toe-tagging staffers, it's only a matter of time before they get to the guy in charge. Hell, Moss may not let Moss even get off the field at halftime before he breaks him off. It's not a great day for Pepper, obviously. But you know who else it's not a great day for? Bill Belichick and his coaching tree. Belichick has a coaching tree that now includes Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Eric Mangini, Matt Patricia, and some dude who got fired after only one game in the XFL. It's a bad look for Pep, but a much worse look for the hood. You think you hate Mondays. You think you hate your boss. Yeah, try being Pepper Johnson. I'd tell you to pour one out for Pep, but it looks like the Wildcats already did it. Damn, they ain't playing in the XFL. How about that whole thing, too, that everybody in the XFL is going on and on about, man, we're just trying to get back to fun. Football's supposed to be fun. We're trying to have fun. Fun? This dude got fired after one game. One game? You can see where it used to be, you always got 3 years if you're a head coach. And then all of a sudden, 2 years. And then guys were getting fired after only 1 year. And now in the XFL, one game. How long before guys are getting fired at halftime? How long before somebody gets fired after a bad first series? How long before somebody gets fired after losing the coin flip? How long before a coordinator gets broken off during the pregame stretch? Yo, man, I don't like the way you're walking around. I don't like the way you're talking to players. You're fired. Wait, what? During the pregame stretch, I'm fired? Yeah, man. Beat it, Paprika. Hit the bricks, Basil.
Hit the bricks, pal.
Hey, Pepper, I'm on your side, man. I don't get this twisted. I want this getting back to you like I didn't have your back, because I do. I'm just saying, the way they're handling this, Winston Moss, too, a guy who played in the league for a long time, the way he handled that, and again, I'm not there. I don't know what happened. I want to preface. I probably should preface the entire take by saying I don't really know what happened. If he got fired because they allowed 37, or maybe there's some so-called philosophical differences that they didn't know about when he was hired, I'm just saying, if you're going to treat a guy like that and disrespect a guy who's got 5 rings, would you put it by him to say, yo, Basil, hit the bricks? They fired the guy after 1 game. It wouldn't surprise me. I could see it. Yo, Lemon Pepper, get out of here, man. Beat it, man. Dear Rome. Yo, Nutmeg. Nutmeg, can you get your unit the hell off the field? No? Beat it, man. Hit the bricks, Nutmeg. Coriander, pack your freaking bags. Leave your iPad. Rome. Allspice, all done.
Now I'm done.
Leave your iPad. So somebody hit me up earlier and said, hey, in Canada, wait, you have a golfer who won? That's the first Canadian to ever win anything. To which I said, no, Matt in Vancouver calls. He's a good caller. He's won. And now he's responding. Hey, Rome, here is a list of things that I have won merely on the strength of my Canadian passport. Free health care for life. Fit and healthy, friendly, attractive neighbors, and community. Not having our political system resemble the XFL. Matt in Vancouver, gearing up for a smack-off 26 revenge tour. We're not knowing when to stay down after getting repeatedly hit in the face. That's after Nick Taylor won, and somebody said he's the only Canadian to ever win anything. That's not true. Hey, Rome. Tom Brady is a free agent? Really? Regards that chick at work who tells everyone she's single and has no Valentine's Day plans. Francis in Glendale wore Irae Craig using waffles as snowshoes. Again, Francis, that does not work. It does not snow in Southern California. And if he really is homeless the way you think he is, he would eat the waffles. He would not use them as shoes. Jaime, we are all eagerly awaiting Adam's itinerary for this weekend at RIV. Would love to know the moronic stuff he and his bros have in store to embarrass themselves, their families, and most importantly, your brand. I think he's not going with the bros. I think he's going with the fam. I'll touch base with Hawk. He has not been on the show in a little while, by design. But we'll find out what he's got going on at RIV. Because I know he's got something going on at RIV. We know this about Hawk. Hawk also, as a teaser, has been participating in an intermittent fast. He's getting ready for another marathon. You're going to go half marathon or a marathon? Full marathon, down 9 pounds. So you might be asking yourself, how did he lose 9 pounds? Hawk is on an intermittent fast, meaning he eats nothing until 12 noon every single day. He only eats between the hours of 12 noon and 8 p.m., and it's working for him. And keto. That's not easy, man. I got to give it to Hawk. Hawk's in generally by 5 a.m., but does not eat anything until noon. Pretty impressive. I have to give you some credit there, Birdman. Which is in contrast to It's Red. When we come back, let's talk Major League Baseball. And, you know, I'm not even going to tease it and let you think or guess where I come out on this. It's just some of the stupidest ideas I've ever heard. Like, I literally can't even believe it's a thing. When I saw some of these suggestions and some of the things they're thinking about for Major League Baseball and the postseason, I mean, I really thought it was a joke. Like, the commissioner is messing with us. They're some of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard. That's coming up next. 1-800-636-8686. Like, Adam Hawk is on keto. Ike is on Cheeto. Heyo! Except that's true. Like, that's not even a joke. That's not even a play on words. That's real. Thinking Cheetos are like vegan for that guy. Cheetos are like blueberries to that guy. Ritz, like Cheetos, man. Those are like my Brussels sprouts. That's when I'm good. Bro, what do you know about Brussels sprouts? Have you ever even had a vegetable in your life? When we come back, let's talk Major League Baseball and some of the ideas they have for fixing the postseason. That's coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Anybody, does anybody know that tune? I said to Alvin, what is that? He goes, yeah, I don't know, dude. I got it on Spotify. I want to see if anybody gets that. I like it. I'm looking for your help, clones. Pick me up. All right, so Major League Baseball has had itself an offseason, right? There are the multiple cheating scandals. The three managers who've lost their jobs because of the multiple cheating scandals. The discussions about eliminating 42 minor league teams and more. I would imagine at this point, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, had to be hoping to just get to today when pitchers and catchers start to report without another ugly story dropping. And he almost did. But then this report from Joel Sherman with the New York Post did drop. Quote, MLB is seriously weighing a move from 5 to 7 playoff teams in each league beginning in 2022, the Post has learned. Wait, what? I'm sorry, what? That can't be serious, right? Because what that would mean is 14 out of 30 teams would make the postseason. Nearly half the entire sport would be getting in. So the obvious question is, does more equal better? I'll handle that one. No. Hell no. See, what that would mean is the 84-78 Red Sox would have made the playoffs last year. The 78-win Rangers would have been just on the outside looking in. That is to quote Philip Rivers, horse mess.
That's horse mess.
That is horse mess. How about 2017? It would have been even worse in 2017. Only 5 American League teams that season had winning records, which means that 2 sub-500 teams would have been in the playoffs. If an 80-win team actually won the World Series, did they actually win the World Series? Would you really consider them the best team in baseball? Because under this plan, that probably would happen at some point. If you're going to let in sub-500 baseball teams, a sub-500 baseball team probably will win it all at some point. Like, the end of the regular season and the wild card round are one of the few things that MLB does get right. So, of course, they're looking to mess with that. The final week or two of the regular season, when you've got multiple good teams, key phrase, good teams, are battling for the division, and those 2 wildcard spots is actually pretty electric. But their answer is, you know what? Why don't we instead take this good thing and wreck it? Let's make it worse by expanding the field. Their answer is to just water the thing down completely. So instead of having really good teams battling for very valuable spots, you've got really mediocre teams battling to extend mediocre seasons. Like, I thought the entire argument behind MLB's long season was to punish mediocrity and not reward it with a playoff spot. Did any of the Red Sox players or fans really want to extend last season? Has anybody ever looked at a 78-win team in September and said, damn, that is not a team that we want to run into in the postseason? No, because that's actually exactly the type of team that you want to run into in the postseason. A bad team. Who wouldn't want to play a bad team and get what amounts to be a bye in the first round of the playoffs? Great idea, Major League Baseball. Like, who the hell comes up with this crap? And why do they come up with this crap? And no, it's not because it's the same reason anybody does anything because they can. No, they're not doing it because they can. They're doing it because of television and money, of course. Because as always, you can never be thin or rich enough. You've heard that old saying, right? In the case of Major League Baseball and its owners, rich enough. They want more. A couple of their TV deals end after next season, and the owners want to stack a few more private jets and vacation homes. Give the fans what they want. Except nobody wants it. Nobody's asking for it. 14 teams. Why stop there? Why stop at 14? Why not go to 16? Better yet, why not let everybody in? Put all 30 teams in. Again, more is better. Right, Commissioner? Hell, people like March Madness. Why don't we have October Madness? Why not promote a few AAA teams at the end of the season, and then we'll have a 64-team tournament, just like college basketball. Maybe even have like some whack play-in game with a high school team or two. And if you think that adding four more teams to the playoffs is the only bad part of this, you got another thing coming. Because there are layers to this horse mess. It's like a horse mess tiramisu.
That's horse mess.
Joel Sherman writes, quote, in this concept, the team with the best record in each league would receive a bye to avoid the wild card round and go directly to the division series. The two other division winners and the wild card with the next best record would each host all three games in a best of three wild card round. So the bottom three wild cards would have no first round home games, end quote. Get all that? Best record in each league advances to the division series. The other six teams in each league would play in a three-game wild card round hosted by the two division winners and the wild card team with the best record. Did you get all that? Because now it's about to get truly idiotic. Quote, because the division winner with the second best record in a league would then get the first pick of its opponent from those lower three wild cards, then the other division winner would pick, leaving the last two wild cards to play each other, end quote. In other words, teams would not be seeded in the wild card round. The team with the best record gets to pick who they want to play. And if that didn't already make them the gimmickiest bitches ever, then this would. Quote, the plan is to have this all play out on a show. On the Sunday night that the regular season ends and having representatives picking teams on live TV, think the NCAA selection show, but just with the teams making these selections, end quote. They get to pick who they want to play, and they're going to put it on TV. To quote the legendary John McEnroe, you cannot be serious.
You cannot be serious.
Is this MLB or XFL? Picking your playoff opponent on live TV, like a reality show. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that. You cannot be serious.
You cannot be serious.
The This Time It Counts All-Star Game. Cannot believe what a hideous gimmick that is. Guys banging on trash cans. Can't believe how embarrassing that is. Man, that is so desperate. That is so gimmicky. That is so lame. That's like the worst look at me pub grab ever. Manfred's like, damn, we got to find a way to get the average age of our fan base under 98. Under RIT. How do we appeal to the crowd that's under 80? Can we just broadcast all of our games on, what's that thing called? Snapface? Can we broadcast our games on Chatface, on Snapchat or TikTok?
Instant chat.
Or tic-tac-toe, or what do they call that thing? This might be the stupidest reality show since The Bachelor. And if this is the idea that is being floated out there, if this is the idea that somebody said, you know what, maybe, what were the ideas that they rejected? If people actually signed off on a reality show draft of playoff teams, what were the ideas that they deemed too stupid to trot out there? Because I'm not sure there's anything dumber than having the Yankees go on TV to decide whether they're going to play Tampa, Cleveland, or Boston. Why stop there? Why not go like sausage race to determine who gets in? Why not have like the Yankees and the Red Sox play duck, duck, goose for the home field? Why don't we see, they should have somebody pick up a baseball and see who can throw it the farthest, and that will decide who gets to play where. Or how about this? How about that Sandlot thing where one guy from each team keeps putting their hand on the bat and they go all the way up to the handle until they run out of bat space. And then the person who has the hand on top gets to pick. Like when I first saw that plan, I thought that adding four more teams to the postseason was like the dumbest idea ever until I got to the part about picking opponents on live TV. Gimmicky little bitches.
You're a gimmicky little bitch.
That's where I got that from. I stole that from Brad. That's not mine. Stop trolling us and wasting our time and take us back to a kinder, gentler time when half the sport was roided out of its mind and guys were swinging out their ass and reversing high heat 900 feet. Even that would be better than this bullcrap. Much, much, much better. How did somebody not stop them before putting that out there? Even if they thought it's like, yeah, it's just a trial balloon. Let's just see.
That's horse mess.
Is there anybody anywhere that doesn't hate all of that? It's just horse mess. Am I right, Philip?
That's horse mess.
A reality show to pick who you're going to play. And they can put it on like live TV. Like people are going to sit down and watch that. Like, ooh, wow.
Unstinking believable.
Bad idea, Commissioner. Really, really bad idea. When we come back, I just keep going, man. Takes for days. I'm feeling it today. I've got more. I've got something totally off the board. I'm here to help. Say you're one of those people that does not have a Valentine, does not have a date. You're already dreading Friday. You're coming at it all wrong. Like you have a bad attitude about it. You're thinking revenge. Revenge can be good. Revenge can be helpful. Revenge can be converted into something positive. I may have that next. But the most important thing I can do for you right now is get you a... So one last segment, and before I get into this, this one's kind of wacky. A little off the board. You can call now. If there's something that you would like to talk about or you want me to talk about, do it now. Otherwise, I will take this advantage or this opportunity and I will go off the board. Because not for TV or not for money, but because I can. 1-800-636-8686. We had GLC. We had Nick Taylor, who won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We had Tom Haberstroh. We talked Philip Rivers. We talked Tom Brady. We talked XFL. And I mentioned that Valentine's Day is coming up. Follow me on this. Don't look now, but it's Friday. And by don't look now, what I'm really saying is if you haven't set this thing up yet, you may have an issue. Unless you eat dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Most of the good reservations, if not all of them, have already been locked down. You're not going to get a good resi. You're not going to get good service. You probably will not get good food. Maybe if you could somehow get into the Red Lobster.
Zeke,
maybe.
It's always great to have you on The Last Word. Thank you very much for joining us. What's up?
My pleasure. I just got back from Red Lobster.
Maybe Zeke can drop your name somewhere.
Zeke?
Now, I don't want to talk to those of you who are coupled up. and you're in a good spot, and you just kind of waited too long to hook this thing up. I want to talk to the other side, those who really need help. I want to talk to the lonely, spiteful, revenge-seeking bachelors and bachelorettes. Not enough time is spent talking to these folks on that day. It's always about, oh, here's what you should do. Here's what people who are in love do. Yeah, but what about those others that are looking for love and can't find it? What about those others who've had really bad experiences? You know, what about the people who are going to be home Friday night, hate scrolling through Instagram, wishing nothing but the worst for all of their friends who have it good, who have what they want, while simultaneously creeping on their ex? It doesn't have to be the worst night of the year. In fact, it might be one of the better nights of the year. And all you need is $5, an internet connection, and some serious cold blood coursing through your veins. Because right now, and again, I said, if you want to talk sports, I was here for it. But if not, I was going off the board because I want to help some of you out. If you are that person and you're dreading Friday night, right now, the San Antonio Zoo, of all places, is going to pick you up. They're running an event called Cry Me a Cockroach. And for $5, it's a real thing. For only $5, you can pay online and have them name a cockroach after your ex. All right, so that in and of itself is pretty good, right? That's not all. Wait, there's more. A cockroach named after your ex, and they will feed that cockroach to an animal at the zoo. And not only that, you can watch it live on a live internet stream from anywhere in the world. Hate is in the air this Valentine's Day. This event is so sick and so twisted and so morbid, it's almost impossible not to like, if not love. Let me run that back to you one more time really quickly. $5 for a cockroach that they will name after your ex, and they will feed to one of their animals, and they will do so on a live stream. Like, there's nothing more vile and disgusting than a cockroach. And save me the ecosystem lecture. Believe me, we've got them in this building. Damn these things. Damn them to the seventh layer of hell. We have them in this building. We had a meeting one day with somebody who I respect a lot, and I was walking him to the door, and a cockroach as big as Cody the Ragdoll cat scurried across the rug. Dude, we had a cockroach in here the big as a cat. And my client was like, oh, dude. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what's popping there, Twitter? Cockroaches, man. Black and brown and crunchy. Scurrying around like rats when the lights get turned on. And the nocturnal party is over. No one in the history of the world has ever been happy to see a roach. Nobody's got a roach's back. They're universally hated and regarded as the worst living thing on the planet. So, to pay such a small fee to name one after your ex and watch an animal eat it is one of the biggest FU moves I've ever heard of. And according to the San Antonio Zoo, they will be announcing the names of the roaches before the impending death. So, if you're not totally passive-aggressive, you can post the video on your social and tag your victim. Imagine your ex seeing that they've got a notification from you on Valentine's Day, only to find out it's a clip of a roach named after them and getting eaten on live stream. It's incredible.
Eat it, HUD.
There's something even better. If that's not enough for you and you want more, if you really hate that ex, you can throw down another $20. And for $25, the zoo will take not a roach, but an actual rat. They'll name a rat after your ex and feed it to a snake on live video. $25 gets you a rat. And that snake gets a rat with your ex's name. Same exact concept, just a step up in vindictiveness. So it comes down to this. Do you want to call your ex a roach?
You f***ing cockroach.
Or do you want to call your ex a rat?
I got this rat, this annoying, heating f***ing rat.
Either way, they're getting eaten on a live stream. A live stream that can be seen anywhere in the world. And you can be a part of that from anywhere. It's not even like you have to be like some George Strait to participate on a Friday night. So what I'm saying to you is, instead of being jaded, instead of being angry, instead of being depressed, instead of being despondent that you're not going out to dinner with your ex this Friday, I mean, yeah, that'd be great, but let's be real. It's not happening. They moved on, and you can't. So do the next best thing. You're not going to have dinner with them, so watch them become dinner as either a rat or a roach and get fed to another animal. And then do it from your home, in your pajamas, while you're crushing ice cream, while everybody else is out there fighting the crowds, shelling out stacks of cash for overpriced food and drinks and getting poor service. Like I said, for $5, an internet connection and some cold blood, that's all you need this Valentine's Day if you're single and you're angry and you're depressed. That's all you need. That and an ex that you hate more than anything in the world. Because naming a rat or a roach after somebody and watching it get fed to an animal on the internet is a new level of resentment. For so many of you who have been dreading this Friday as the worst day ever, it could actually be one of the best. And every other zoo in the world, man, step your game up, because you're all looking up at the San Antonio Zoo.
Step your game up.
And their live stream. I can remember for the longest time it was like San Diego Zoo, San Diego Zoo, best zoo ever. Nothing like the San Diego Zoo. LA Zoo. Not at all. The bar has been raised. They're naming roaches and rats. And it's not that expensive. Hey, Rome. I am going to start a Kickstarter campaign to buy all the roaches and name all of them Rick in Buffalo. It's not what it's for, Will in Boise. It's not what it's for. But they'd probably let you. Rome, we're buying 1,000 rats to be eaten and naming them all Fires. Sign the Astros. I see what you did there. He's a rat. John in Huntington Beach.
Hey, John.
I'm here to help. I want everybody to have a nice Friday night. Huge call sponsored by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. It sends an alert to your phone. It helps you fix them. It's another way that Capital One is watching out for all your money when you are not. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. We had Jason Lock and Fora, Nick Taylor, and Tom Haberstroh. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're up.